at a time when investors are confronted with market volatility and a variety of challenges fueled by the uncertainty of inflation, unsettled geopolitical tensions, and economic pressures. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. This is InvestTalk, independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Invest Talk. It is Friday, March 17th, 2023. And here it is, past the Ides of March, and many parts of the country are still feeling winter. Reno, Nevada was 25 degrees. So that's pretty cold on the St. Patrick's Day holiday for those people who celebrate St. Patrick's Day. I think that holiday doesn't get much credit because, you know, it's just with no one takes off. You still have to work, still have to go to school. So it's a lot of people are very passionate about St. Patrick's Day. Anyways, we're in the 11th week of the year. And as you've seen, it has been volatile, and it is moving, especially in the banking sector. By the way, the banking sector would be considered where that crash happened in less than a day, for the one bank, SVB or SIV, whatever. Anyways, that would be described as a black swan event, something that was hard to see coming. The speed of that crash, you know, of why that happened. But I thought that was interesting. So, but then the market is always changing, everybody. Just is. And so you got to learn to deal with it. That's what we're going to talk about. I'm Steve Peasley, and I'm here today to answer any of your questions on this podcast and radio broadcast. Any of your financial questions about strategies, decisions, where you're going to go, when you're going to retire, what age should you retire, and 401ks, IRA, whatever you want to talk about, we'll discuss it as long as it's financial. Okay? So that's what we do here. For those who are new to us, let me assure you that I'm not going to be pushing. We don't push anything. I provide straight and unbiased answers to questions. And we're not trying to sell you anything when we're answering those questions, okay? We just want to provide the information. One thing we have all noticed by now is that the investing situation today, the stock markets, very different from just 2 years ago, and for 10 years before that, you just buy and it would go up, right? That's not true, and now we're feeling that, okay? Feeling it. I do think, as I've told you before, I think by the end of the year, the market may be and turn itself around. I think that's going to happen. I really do. I think you can hold me to it, and then you can call me and tell me if I was wrong or right by the end of the year. How's that? So, but we all are here to learn some new things. I know you do. We've got many variables out there that we all have to consider, not just the individual stock, but the background of the economy and what the Fed is doing, all those things. That's what we do here. Okay? So my focus point today is, what are the sectors to watch for bargains and undervalued stocks? Okay? So it's Brzezinski. She wrote that article. We'll talk about that. Of course, I got other things. Time permitting, I want to talk about the banking crisis and what it means for the Fed, the Federal Reserve, as far as what they're doing with interest rates and their policy going forward. Okay, also, should you invest in banks after the crisis? Would banks long-term be a place to be? I'm not talking about investing now or trying to pick a bottom. I'm talking about where you should be, based on their prospects going forward. And Warren Buffett, you know, he has four banks. He lost billions of dollars. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And France raises its retirement age. Raises it. You know what their retirement age is compared to ours and other countries around the world? So we'll talk about that a little bit if we can get there. All that means only if you don't call. If you call, we won't be able to get to any of this. But if you do call, you know, I'll be able to answer your question. So give me a call. It is Friday. I will share highlights from my KPP Premium newsletter as well. That's coming up about the halfway point of the podcast. So I've got all this planned for this episode of the podcast. And, of course, I'll take your live calls at 888-99-CHART. So how'd the market do real fast? The Dow was down 385, the Nasdaq was down 87, and the S&P was down 44. Not a great day. Let's go to our first caller, Chris in New Hampshire. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, doing quite well. I was calling with a question about NYCB, New York Community Bank. Like most banks, it's down dramatically. I bought some about a year ago and was wondering if it's one of those ones I should just take my losses and get out of, or if it's an opportunity to buy more.
Did you buy it because of the dividend? Because it has a pretty high dividend.
Originally, I didn't know. I just about a year ago was reading that, you know, banks overall were undervalued. And it was paying not quite as good of a dividend back then.
Okay.
Obviously, it's paying an amazing dividend now, but.
Yeah, yeah. This is NYCB, everybody. New York Community Bank Corp, holding company for the New York Community Bank and New York Commercial Bank, offering, you know, they're operating 237 offices. It makes money. It's going to make $1.08 this year. Was down. That's down from $1.23. And then rebound next year to $1.23 again. And it's a $6.54 stock. So it's really inexpensive. So I'll put it this way, Chris. I don't know what their balance sheet is and how much, you know, assets they are actually exposed to, you know, 10-year treasuries like that bank in San Francisco was, or exposed to, you know, it's not like Silicon Valley Bank where they're exposing themselves to all these upcoming companies with a venture capitalist supported and all their billions of dollars are kept in these banks that could just disappear quickly. Anyway, so I think this is a pretty solid bank. I think if it was me, I probably, if I don't have a huge position, I'd probably add more. That's what I gotta do.
All right.
We're still,
great,
the only trouble
you.
Is, we're, yeah, thank you for the call, appreciate it. We're still in this mini bank crisis, so it's hard to, I'm kind of hard pressed, but the value is there. Well, but as long as their balance sheet is in order, you know, not crazy like other banks were. Here's a reminder, everybody. There are only 5 days left to register for the new free InvestTalk Wealth webinar. Value investing, positioning your portfolio on profitability, relative price, and dividend payments. So you've got to head over to InvestTalk.com and register. And now the InvestTalk phone lines are open. I am waiting, wanting your financial investment questions at 888-99-CHART.
Thank you, and I hope to be the 50 millionth download of your incredible show.
It is official. As of February 21st, an exciting new InvestTalk milestone was achieved. The InvestTalk podcast exceeded 50 million downloads.
How do you guys determine a value stock?
50 million.
Just wanted to get your opinion on JP Morgan and BAC.
Hey guys, this is Josh from South Carolina. I'm a longtime listener.
24/7, rain or shine, on tough market days or during brighter moments. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley are ready to answer your questions.
Our now preferred share is kind of a hybrid asset. It's part of the capital structure.
You want to buy this when it's on sale, and when it gets on sale, it's about $16 a share.
50 million. InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART. Everybody wants a secure financial future, but getting there takes strategy, discipline, and the right information. That means you'll have finance and investment questions. Steve Peasley is ready to provide his unbiased answers. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys. This is Josh from Tampa. I'm just calling to ask a question about Silvercrest Asset Management, ticker SAMG. I've been following the stock for a while, and it's had a bad month, down about almost 20%. And I opened up a position Monday at the lows as a small position, less than 1%. But I was just curious on your opinion of it and if you think I should add more or get out of it. And I was also just curious about your guys' opinion on the asset management space, just in general. Thank you for the question. Have a good day.
Okay, this is Silvercrest Assets, S-A-M-G is the symbol, provides financial advisory and related family office services to ultra-high net worth individuals. This is a very small company. It's $155 million market cap. It does make money, has made money. It's been very steady, but in recent quarters, sales have been down. So it's a stable company, a 4.4% dividend at $16.30 a share, and it's going to make $1.80 next year, which is a nice bump from this year. And this is year will be a bump up from last year, about 13-18%. So those are positives pushing this stock forward that would mean that I would want, you might want to consider it. Management owns 10%, which is good. But it is a very small company. The smaller the company, the higher the risk, and the one thing that would turn me off is how small the company is. Appreciate the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. My focus point today concerns the story behind the question, what are the sectors to watch for bargains for the undervalued stocks? So this is an article that I picked up written by Susan Dobrinsky, and she's the undervalued stock she's picking. And remember, you can use any criteria you want to determine value. Okay, you can emphasize this one characteristic of the company over this other, and you could say, see, it's undervalued. So you got to take everything with a grain of salt when they say the most undervalued, based on their assuming what on how to configure that number. Well, they took a list of 128 companies they liked, and part of that is from the Morningstar group, and they looked at them and said these companies have significant competitive advantages. They're very stable and are growing. Now, what are some of the 10 companies? Comcast is top of their list. Taiwan Semiconductor. Roche, you know that's a drug company, right? Everybody knows that Roche is a Switzerland drug company. Walt Disney, okay? Equifax, TransUnion, International Flavors and Frequencies. I bet you most of you probably never heard of International Flavors and Frequencies. But they've been around a very long time, and they do have a very stable business that is going to hang around. So I just want to warn you, this I have no problem with this list. I kind of like some of these stocks quite a bit. But I do have a problem when you will read the 10 best of this or that when it comes to the stock market, that you have to understand what they consider best. How do they determine that best meets the criteria? What is that? What? Low PE, pays a dividend, paid a dividend the last 10 years. What? What criteria is it? So don't ever buy a company just because it's on a best list, okay? Do your own homework. You can do it. It's not impossible. It just takes time, but it's kind of fun to do. So I would consider that. Okay, 888-99-CHART. I'm going to talk about the banking crisis and what that means for the Fed and their fight against inflation. Should you invest in banks after this crisis is over? Long term, I'm talking long term. Should that be someplace you want to be? And France changes its retirement age. They increased it, which surprised the heck out of me, because France usually, you know, is not that kind of government, you know, to take away some benefits from their citizens. And remember, the citizens may not put up with it. So, you know, they're pretty boisterous. Jess and I are thankful for your podcast support, and our free downloads will continue. I want to make you aware that there are two other ways you can find our material and unbiased guidance. InvestTalk has a YouTube channel and an Instagram following. We're building out more and more content on these things, so go to YouTube or Instagram and search InvestTalk. Remember, there's two T's in InvestTalk. And please tell your friends and family and everybody you know. The InvestTalk phone lines are open, 888-99-CHART.
Steve Peasley is here and ready to take your calls live. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys. My name is Jerome. I'm calling from Massachusetts. Thank you for everything you do. I'm a new listener. I'm actually trying to be a new investor. I've been trying to get information, and I'm pretty sure you've probably tackled this before, but I'd be grateful if you could just, again, talk to a new investor, just a couple of highlights on what we need to do. I know for sure that I've been advised, make sure you've covered your dates, you don't have any major outstanding loans, which I've managed to do. You have an emergency fund on the side, which I'm building. I've had somewhere that it should be about $3,000 minimum, or at least 3 to 6 months of your salary. Anyway, I am building that. So I now wanted, I was thinking of getting to the actual investing. I would appreciate any tips or ideas on, you know, what steps to follow, what to look out for. I need to be looking out for as I actually get into the actual investing process. Thank you very much.
As a beginner, you probably should stick with indexes until you become much more informed about how to evaluate stocks. And when I say an index, like you can buy a what's called an exchange traded fund of an index like the S&P 500. Several of them. You can buy also the Dow, which is 30 largest stocks. Well, maybe not the largest stocks in the index, but 30 very, very large stocks. The NASDAQ. The NASDAQ index is 100 of the largest companies selling on the NASDAQ exchange. There's two main exchanges. There's a New York exchange and the NASDAQ exchange. So the companies are listed on one or the other. So you start with the indexes. That's what I would do. That's what you probably should do until you become much more familiar with investing. You open up an account at any of the big houses, the discount houses, and say, I want to buy an index of the S&P 500. Or you just give them the symbol of the company you want to buy, and you can do your trade yourself, depending on who you go with. Anyway, that was a great call. I appreciate that. I really do. Okay, 888-99-CHART is our number, everybody. Time to give us a call. Now, sat back and thought about this mini banking crisis that we are over with or still in the middle of, I don't have any idea yet. No one knows. You only look backwards. But this banking crisis is helping the Federal Reserve fight inflation. Now, how is that? Well, everybody's used to speculate, everybody meaning the investment community out there, that the Fed was going to raise 0.5%. Now everybody thinks they're either going to raise it not at all or 0.25%. Why would the Fed do that? Because the Fed knows the economy will slow down. What do you think these banks are going to do? You know, some of them looking at their balance sheets, they say, oh, crap, we're in really big trouble. There could continue to be certain, runs a certain bank. So what they do is, well, we got to tighten up our standards. If we get through this crisis, we got to tighten up our standards. So the thinking is, well, if you're going to tighten up standards, that will slow the economy. And slowing the economy is what the Fed has been trying to do so they can get rid of inflation or at least reduce it. You know, that's the theory. So the bank crisis is helping the Fed. Now, also one thing, does this mean that they're at a peak of raising interest rates? I think that's that they might very well be, depending on what else happens from the next week or two. Remember, they're meeting next week. We're going to have this numbers next week. But looking forward, they're going to, you know, really consider whether this main crisis really is going to, you know, cause a real contraction or not in the economy. We'll see. We'll see. On Fridays, I generally make time to do a quick rundown on the key benchmarks, numbers. Two-year Treasury yield, 3.94. Last week, it was 4.68, if you remember right. So it dropped down to 3.94. So, you know, and of course, a little over a year ago, it was like half of 1%. So, you know, it's gone a long ways. The 10-year Treasury yield is 3.39%. Last week it was 3.73. So that's the 10-year. Okay, and remember they were paying what? About 50, I got 57 weeks ago, they were paying 1.98%. Now they're paying 3.39%. So when the Federal Reserve raised the rates over this last year, that increase in rates has put a lot of pressure on banks who have 10-year treasuries. They thought they were buying safe things, but if they did, they buy too many. You didn't spread it along the risk curve. There's, you know, the risk curve meaning by 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, you know, 7 year, 10 year, whatever trades are out there. So you can, you know, you don't expose yourself to any one sector. But those who did have lost billions for their bank because of the value of bonds go down when interest rates rise. Interest rates go up, the value of the bond you're holding while interest rates are rising, if that goes up, the bond value will go down. Just remember, that's how that works. Gold, $1,980 an ounce. We really had a good week because of the fear factor. Remember, what drives gold? Fear, the dollar, U.S. dollar value, wars, insurrection, that drives gold. So fear about the banking sector drove it this week. 888-99-CHART, everybody. We're heading into a break. Our phone lines are open. 888-992-4278.
At this point, I think almost everyone has heard how generative AI promises to bring us to the next industrial revolution. AI is already shaping society with an impact on daily life that echoes the transformative significance of electricity or the internet. As we take steps to embrace the potential of generative AI, we need to remain vigilant with regard to its exploitability. This is where HackerOne comes in. HackerOne's AI Red Team addresses the novel challenges of AI safety and security for businesses that are launching new AI deployments. The HackerOne approach involves targeted offensive testing by harnessing the collective skills of ethical hackers who are proficient in AI and prompt hacking. In short, AI red teaming is the practice of stress testing AI models and deployments to make sure they can't be tricked into providing information beyond their intended use, and that security flaws can't be exploited to access confidential data or systems. HackerOne seamlessly integrates with your existing tools to enhance communication and collaboration across development, security, and IT teams. So, stay ahead of the game in the battle against cyber threats with HackerOne's Attack Resistance Platform. Learn more at HackerOne.com. That's HackerOne.com, HackerOne.com.
Now, each time I host the Invest Talk podcast, I have the satisfaction of taking caller questions and then breaking down the often complex dynamics involved. If you've never called, don't hold back. You can leave your Invest Talk questions on the 24/7 anytime listener line at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Taylor in Philadelphia. Is it cold in Philadelphia, Taylor?
It was pretty nice yesterday. It's cooled off a bit today. How about in California?
Well, it's been pretty chilly. We've had a pretty cold winter for us, and wet, which is really unusual for Southern California.
Cold for you is probably still warm for me, Steve.
Yeah, Trump died probably is.
So I was calling today. We recently did a rollover IRA for my wife's 403B. So it's effectively tripled the funds that we're able to direct ourselves. So it's a big lump of cash right now. And as we start to take some bites into the market, I wanted to kind of get your opinion on a strategy about sectors that we should be thinking about for 2023 to start ripping off some pieces. And then I was thinking of SPSM, the S&P 600 small cap, as a good place to start. I want to get your opinion on that.
I actually have no problem with that. I'm not sure we're done with our bear market push yet because of this little banking thing going on now. But I do think this is the year that probably you want to be buying into stocks before the end of the year. I think by the end of the year, the market will be in a bull phase. So, start dipping your fingers into value sectors. I have absolutely no problem with it. I think that's a smart way to go. So, yeah, you got a thumbs up from me, Taylor. Good thinking. Appreciate the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, should you invest in banks after this crisis? Let's say that crisis is way behind us now. We're 2 months afterwards. Everybody's calmed down. Then, should you invest in banks, period? Not by whether they're a good value or bad value. I'm not talking about that. I'm thinking the whole banking sector. And my opinion is somewhere I don't think I want to be for a number of years. Why? Because of the banking crisis and the fact that the U.S. government is backing up all these banks, all the banks, all the deposits. Forget about FDIC insured stuff, except for you and me, of course, in a little small bank we might be using. FDIC insurance is all we're going to get. We're not going to get backed up. But because of these are all big, pretty big banks, pretty big, not all of them, some, but because they let one go. But the Federal Reserve, I mean, the U.S. government is going to pass more rules and regulations, more of them. And I think it's going to constrict profits, constrict them sales. I think the banks themselves are going to constrict now, this next year, for the next 12 months, because they're nervous about the capital structure and they want to, make some moves and be more conservative. So then you're going to have the government, I think, because they're backing up, they're already nationalizing the banking industry with this move. So what makes, I just don't know, I don't think I have any faith that they won't overboard. I've seen this many times. They go overboard with the rules and regulations. It's going to really constrict growth for banks. So, unless it's one of the really big international type of banks that pays a really nice dividend, I probably won't be interested in that sector. Anyway, so I thought I'd pass that along. Okay, let's go to Edgar in San Diego.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Oh, sure. Thanks for taking my call. Steve, I've been keeping my eyes on Pioneer Resources for almost about a little bit less than a year. And I believe, it has a lot of potential and has a good dividend. What is the entry point? Now it's coming down. Looks like it's getting very close to 52-week low.
Yeah, I think that looks like a good entry point. I'm with you on that 52-week low, because it looks like it went down there before, hesitated. So that what is that number? About 170, okay? Somewhere 170. Right now it's selling for 182. Everybody, we're talking about Pioneer Natural Resources, engaged in exploration and production of oil and gas in the United States. What it pays, a 15% dividend. I'm not sure they're going to be able to do that, but they have cash flow of $43.75 a share. That's huge. So they're going to make $23.30 this year in earnings, $23.65 next year, the estimates. So this year's is down, and next year's is flat. So, but you buy this because of where they are, because I like that sector, engaged in exploration and production of oil and gas in the United States. because they're still growing their sales. They're very low PE. They're right at 6 PE ratio. Return equity is 34%. These are really huge and safe numbers. So, yeah, I kind of like it. You know, if it fell more and it fell, next support would probably be about 140-something or 140-ish, I'd buy more. Appreciate the call. Thanks, Edgar.
Go down.
What if it goes down?
So suddenly going south. It was like it was above 200 about a month ago or so.
Yes. So it's in a bear market phase now. It has been for almost 9 months. You know, so it's gone down, up, down, up. It's just, you know, that's how the market works, but it's really inexpensive. So on a value basis and a dividend basis, if you just be patient, you'll make a great return on it. If they paid 15% next year and they had it for 2 years, that's 30% on your money if they paid that, continued that 15% dividend. And they had no reason not to, because they're making a lot of money. Yeah. So anyways, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Thank you. The premium KPP premium newsletter was finished today, and it will be distributed to subscribers tomorrow morning. In the market conditions section, there's only four sections, everybody. And I'll talk about the market conditions sections, which is the first section of the newsletter. We had another week dominated by fallout from the ongoing stress on regional banks, and markets were set to post a weekly gains of 2.5% about halfway through the trading day. The big news over last weekend came in the form of government response to the Silicon Valley Bank collapse. In order to restore confidence and ease worry regarding the safety of smaller banks, the regional banks, the Treasury Department announced a plan to backstop all deposits at SIVB and the other SBNY, as well as create a new lending facility to banks that may be facing liquidity issues. So that's what I meant by the government is backing up all the banking sector, and I'm not convinced that's a place you want to invest. Now, also in the newsletter, the banks on Wall Street took matters into their own hands on Thursday as some of the nation's largest banks announced that they would be depositing around $30 billion in the First Republic Bank in order to shore up confidence in their deposits. So even the biggest banks got involved with trying to stop this little panic run. Okay, so that's not unusual. And to me, we saw in 2008 when we had the previous banking crisis that the federal government stepping in and buying banks and making new rules or regs. And this time it's even, back then they increased just the insurance on the FDIC insurance to 250 from 100. And now it seems like it's unlimited. But probably only for the banks that matter, not the small ones. Probably not. Also in the newsletter, the CPI and PPI number were released this week. Inflation rose month over month, but was in line with expectations. CPI rose 0.4% for the month, putting the annual inflation rate at 6%. It's worth noting that most, if not all, of the recent inflation prints have been the result of the cost of shelter and base effects. Shelter and base effects. Okay, additionally, the producer price index, which gauges wholesale prices, slowed to an annual growth rate of 4.6%, producer price, so at the producer level, significantly lower than both the 5.7% print in January and 5.4% estimate that the economists surveyed expected. So, not too bad. It looks like maybe we have a peak in the inflation rate, which is, it's fine. We expected that. And it's not going to go up forever, right? We knew, with the Fed raising rates last year very strongly, we knew it wasn't going to, economy wasn't going to be pushing inflation higher. So anyways, stock idea sector, a company that develops and manufactures generic pharmaceutical products sold across the world. The company specializes in low-cost, easy-to-produce, small molecular generic drugs and active pharmaceutical ingredients. So, You'll have to figure that out. The company's sales are well dispersed across North America, India, and other emerging markets. It's extremely liquid. So, you know, the stock has recently bound off a low. So, the other one, the world's largest supplier of semiconductor manufacturing equipment, providing materials engineering solutions to help make nearly every microchip in the world. The firm's systems are used in nearly every major process step, with the exception of lithography. The film has the broadest product portfolio and offers customers the closest thing to one-stop shop. The company has a healthy balance sheet with a debt-to-equity ratio of 4.46. Semiconductor sector should also have a nice tailwind. So, you know, from that, you know, the tailwind from the CHIPS or the CHIPS and Science Act passed by Congress, for that was a lot of money given to the chip sector. For, you know me, I don't like that. Didn't like that at all. Okay, let's grab another question, caller. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin, just had a question for your podcast. Love your show. I'm interested in ticker symbol CARR, Carrier. Let me know your thoughts, and I'll be listening on the podcast. Thank you.
Carrier Global Corp is a very good company. It designs, distributes heating, ventilating, air conditioning, refrigeration, fire security systems. It's a $36 billion company, so it's big. It's really big, especially for the sector of the market. I mean, they're one of the leading, if not the leading maker of those things or distributor of those things. They're going to make $2.56 this year. That's up 9% from last year. And then another 11% gain next year to $2.84. It's a $43 stock. Okay, $43 tells you that the P.E. ratio is, you know, not cheap. Okay, around 19 or so. And its range, 5-year range, is 6 to 28 on the P.E. ratio. So it's, you know, it's right in the middle of that, or middle-ish. And so it's not a cheap stock. It pays 1.7% dividend, and the sales growth is not very strong. In the last four quarters, it's been kind of on the negative single digits. And, you know, in a slowing economy, this company will slow dramatically. It's attached to the economic cycle. The economy is growing, it grows. The economy is shrinking, it shrinks. So, you know, I'm talking about its sales. So it's still a very good company. Return on equity is 28%, which is really high for a $36 billion company. So I kind of like it, but it's not now. It has to get a lot cheaper for me. Okay? You probably noticed that Justin and I are very happy about receiving 50 million podcast downloads, right? To celebrate, KPP Financial is giving away 50 free subscriptions to the KPP Premium Newsletter. This is our 50 for 50 million thank you for helping us exceed 50 million downloads. So if you'd like to get a chance to win the free newsletter subscription, just follow Invest Talk on social media platforms like Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn. Then be sure to like and tag three friends on our 50 for 50 million post. It's pretty easy. We'll be picking 10 winners each week for the next 2 weeks. So follow Invest Talk. And also tell your friends. The prize, if you win, is a one-year free subscription to KPP Premium Newsletter. It comes out weekly, bringing you financial news and commentary and a couple stock ideas. The newsletter is normally about $199 a year. But you can get it for free if you win. So why not take the shot? Just follow Invest Talk on social media platforms like, again, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. Then be sure to like and tag three friends on the 50 to 450 million post. Okay. This is Invest Talk, everybody. Hang on. More questions are coming up.
Mark your calendar for Wednesday, March 22nd from 2 to 3 p.m. Pacific Time. You are invited to a new KPP Financial Wealth Webinar. Value Investing, Positioning Your Portfolio for Profitability, Relative Price, and Dividend Payments. Be sure to tell your friends and family members about the new KPP Financial Wealth Webinar. It's free, and you can register now at investtalk.com.
This is InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley, and we have one goal here, everybody, as you know, to help you achieve financial freedom. So we want to do that for you. And our work will continue right after this break. Get your questions in now, 888-99-CHART.
Everybody wants a secure financial future. That means you'll have finance and investment questions. InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. Let's go to Crystal in San Jose. Hi, Crystal.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question regarding Devon Energy, DVN. It looks like it has it came down quite a bit, and I want to know if you think it's a good value to get into.
I actually do. It is a very good company. As far as the health of the company, it's very strong. It's $30 billion size. Devon is symbols DVN, Devon Energy Corp, engaged in exploration and production of oil and gas and natural gas in the United States and Canada. So, you know, that I like that sector already because there's a lot of value there. They're going to pay, they're paying almost 11% dividend right now. Huge dividend. I don't know if they can keep it up, but they have the cash flow to keep it up, $11.74 a share, which is very large. Return on equity is very good at 54. And, you know, it's a $46 stock and we're going to make $7.27 next year. So that tells you it's what, a 6.5, 7 PE? And its range is 5 to 125. So it's at its low on its PE ratio. I like Devon. Yes, it's come off. A high of, let's see, what was their high? $78.80 back in October, late October, early November. And, you know, it's come way down to 46 from there. Well, how far down is down? I think it's getting pretty close to being a bargain enough with that dividend yield that people are going to start buying it. So, yeah, I kind of like it. Thanks, Crystal. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Okay, France. France today decided to raise its retirement age for those people working for the government or if you're collecting benefits from the government, like our Social Security. They raised it from 62 to 64. It was kind of like an announcement by the president that was in France. It kind of took everybody by surprise. And I don't know, you know, their citizenry are a pretty active group. They may be protesting that. But one of the problems is, just like us, they're spending more. They don't have the money. They're spent all the money. It's a big hole for the government, and they're trying to fill it. Just like we have that same problem here, maybe not as bad. Do you know what our retirement average U.S. retirement age is? 64.9. Okay, so almost 65 years old. Indonesia, 68. Okay, 68. I think that's the highest in the world, 68 years old. And Saudi Arabia is at 60 years old. So, of course, you know, they get lots of money from oil. The government is super wealthy, and it's one way to keep people happy, give them money, right? So anyways, that's France. Also, did you see what Warren Buffett did? He bought more Occidental Petroleum today. This last week. 8 million more shares. Remember, that's one of the companies he added. I think it was last year, and added in a big way, maybe a couple of years ago. Now, Warren Buffett also owns four banks, so he really took it on the chin, losing billions of dollars, not hundreds of millions, billions of dollars on his four banks. So I don't know good because of that. Yeah, and of course he doesn't buy he buys pretty safe banks. He's pretty astute about doing that. So, but you know, that's where he lost a bunch of money, and that's why you diversify your portfolio. Remember our rules. We have rules. We don't like people to buy more than 3 to 5% of any one stock in a portfolio, not more than 18% or so of any one sector. You know, you can go up to 20% of your portfolio. So, you know, there's rules that you should establish for yourself that you're comfortable with that make sense to properly diversify the portfolio. you know, to get it in enough stocks. And how many is enough? Well, I think around 15 is kind of the minimum. You could own a few less, but they have to be really high quality. But around 15, we like to own 3% of any one position, so that gives us 33. But you probably won't have time to watch that many stocks and keep up with the news on all those companies. So we do. I'm Steve Pease, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. So get your downloads anytime, everybody, and get it at iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. Please be sure to review and rate us on iTunes. Remember to follow us on InvestTalk on our social media. We would really appreciate that. You might win a free subscription to the KPP Premium Newsletter. We're going to give away more. All you have to do is like and tag three friends on our 50 for 50 million post. That's all you have to do. Independent thinking, share success. This is InvestTalk. Enjoy your weekend.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president, and Justin Klein is chief executive officer of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.